Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the 24th chapter of Luke's gospel, the 13th through the 35th verse. It's a well-known passage, so maybe one that you've heard before. But what I invite you to do is try just to listen to what, just listen to the story. What is being said? What is going on in this story? And then reflect on how this story might intersect your faith journey today. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them named Cleopas answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 together, gathered together, and those who were with them, who said, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The text that I just read from Luke chapter 24 is not the lectionary reading for this, the third Sunday of Easter during this year. But for some reason, I felt drawn to this text, to this particular story today. And at first, I couldn't quite put my finger on why. Why was this story gnawing at me? And then it began to make a little bit of sense. This week, as the cinder block wall, 12-foot cinder block wall, went up where the sidewalk stood just a couple weeks ago, as a giant crane lowered steel into place, what's going to be our new welcome center. Last Sunday, as we were updated on our capital campaign progress, and as folks came forward with their financial commitment cards and their time and talent sheets and placed them at the altar, as the excitement continued to grow, even in the midst of this chaos in which we find ourselves, and words like, "How can I help?" or "What can I do?" were offered over and over and over again, it reminded me of the walk to Emmaus. And thus the decision to use the text today. It's a story about a community in which the living presence of Christ unfolds in the living out of a common life. Hold that thought. You know the story, or at least you just heard it. Two men are walking. This is set on that first Easter Sunday. It's later that day. These two men are disciples, we're told, followers of Jesus. They presumably knew Jesus well. They had responded to his call at some point, and they had spent a significant amount of time with him. But what's interesting, they're insiders, not outsiders, right? But despite their inclusion within the ranks of the disciples, they didn't recognize him. They did not know who he was as he walked with them. It was only after a long and steady walk in his presence that they finally figured it out. And that's it. That is it, friends. That's what we do here. We create a community in which we walk together as we try to figure out this thing called discipleship. It's a parable. It's a parable. The road to Emmaus, to me, functions as a parable. It is a story that teaches us a truth that goes deeper than the content of the story. On its surface, it's a story about a resurrection appearance of Jesus. But it's really about discipleship. That's what it's about. It appears to be a story about two guys on a dusty road in ancient Judea. But it's really about me. And it's about you. It's about everyone who ever discusses the meaning of faith. It's about everyone who ever steps foot in a church like this and just tries to figure out what they're doing here. I know that's what you're doing today. What are we doing here? Okay. It's about what a man named Jesus has to do with us. And the claim that he has on our lives, it's about where does this religious radical's life intersect my life? So every week, we come to this place. Every other week, every third week, we come to this place trying to figure it out. Trying to figure it out. Of course, it's been suggested time and time again down through the ages. I hear it all the time. You don't have to go to church to be a follower of Jesus. You don't have to go to church, to be a Christian. I'm fine with that. That's fine. But my question would be, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you gather other folks who are trying to figure it out? Folks who gather for worship and study and service and fellowship, ritual traditions, because it's been the experience of that community that the mysterious, the mystical, the life-giving presence of the risen Christ is made tangible through the life of the community. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Friends, the story of the walk to Emmaus is the story of discipleship. It is our story. Here we walk together. Here we slowly come to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Not in some rigid doctrinal sense, but in the living out of our lives together. Did you know that at some point, most of us just stumbled into our faith system? Not all of us, but I would suspect most of us just happened into church. In other words, one day we just started going to church. Maybe we were kids, and it was what our family did on Sunday mornings. We went to church. Or maybe we were getting married, and we needed a place to have our wedding. And we said, we're going to start going to church. Or maybe we started having kids, and we thought it would be good for them to be part of a church community, so we started going to church. Or maybe we just got to that age where I guess you have nothing else to do, so you go to church. You say, I guess our birthday, we hit that age, let's go to church. For whatever reason, somehow we found ourselves going to church week after week, year after year after year. And for the most part, we were just bored out of our minds. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about other churches, right? We were bored by the whole experience. We dreaded it. We dreaded it. And I know many of you dreaded it today. Because it gets in the way of what we really want to do on Sunday morning. It was just a chore. But we toughed it out. We persevered. We just kept going to church. We kept moving week after week after week. We just kept walking down that road of our religious system. Because that's what you do. That's the reality of church for so many of us. It is hard. It's a hard and difficult walk, but we keep walking. Now, I don't know how it came about, but my guess is this, that one friend said to another, let's go to Emmaus. And they started walking. And it wasn't a walk they wanted to take. It wasn't an easy walk. Just 2 days earlier, their master, their Lord, had been executed brutally on a Roman cross. Their world was in disarray. But sometimes when your world's in disarray, you got to move. You just don't want to sit. You got to do something. So off they went. Off they went. Maybe the first thing we did when we started going to church was to go to worship. We sat in a room like this, but a little bit nicer maybe, not big holes in the wall. We went to church and we began to hear the story of the community. And others came too, and they were strangers that walked with us. And as we walked, we tried to make sense of it all. We sang the old hymns, filled with archaic images and ideas, songs that didn't mean much to us, songs we didn't even know, tunes that weren't especially catchy. But for some reason, we found ourselves singing along, or maybe humming at least a little bit. Hey, it was only an hour. Just about. Maybe a little over an hour, right? And we heard the Bible stories read. We didn't understand them. They didn't make no sense to us. Stories about a time and culture and worldview that was so foreign for us. But you know what? We put up with it. It was church, for goodness sake. What do you expect? And we prayed together. We shared concerns about lives. We heard stories, heartbreaking stories, about people we never met, but they were part of our community. That was okay. We didn't know the mechanics of prayer, but we tried. It was a polite thing to do. And we listened to insightful, exhilarating, awe-inspiring sermons. Week after week. Okay. We feigned disinterest. We pretended we were sleeping, but we weren't. Or maybe we participated in the men's or women's group, or we drove our van for Family Promise, or hammered nails for Habitat, or gleaned for Society of St. Andrew. Across the years, we walked and walked and walked and walked. As the two disciples made their way toward Emmaus, they were joined by a third, a stranger. They were amazed that he seemed to know everything and know nothing. So they walked. And as they walked, they talked. And as they talked, they shared their lives. And as they shared their lives, something was happening. Something was moving in their hearts and their lives. Something was awakening inside them. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. You know, maybe it's the Tuesday morning men's breakfast. Or maybe it's the enthusiasm we see in a kid running down the aisle with a chocolate Hershey Kiss each week. Or maybe it's in the silence of a bedside of one who is gravely ill. Or maybe it's in the mayhem of confirmation class. Or maybe it's the singing of Christmas carols or the Moravian love feast. Or maybe it's in the handshake of an old or new friend as they walk in the door of this building. Or maybe it's a smile of the Monday morning women's Bible study or the young adult conversations on Thursdays. Or maybe it's in the archaic images and the ideas and the songs and the scripture readings and sermons. Wonderful sermons. Patrick, don't be grinning. Okay. That happen around here. Maybe it's even in something as simple and as commonplace as breaking bread together. Maybe it's in all of these things and many more where connections are made and grace begins to flow. And the recognition of a profound sacredness is given. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road?" It's our story. It's our story. And it's been played out time and time again. We're just walking along, going about life, minding our own business, and boom! It starts to make sense. The story speaks to us and our life in a community called the body of Christ. The story of the walk to Emmaus is a story about faith and discipleship. It's our story. It's our story because it speaks to us on some deep level. A level of common experience. St. Augustine always said the heart of Christianity is faith seeking understanding. That's walking. That's what we do. That's what we do. Friends, we're an Emmaus community. Pleasant Grove is an Emmaus community. By that I mean we are a community characterized by journey and by conversation and hospitality and discovery. Today's the third Sunday of Easter. What does that mean? What does Easter mean? It means the same thing that Advent meant. It means the same thing that Epiphany meant. Same thing that Lent meant. The same thing that a Pentecostal mean. Emmanuel. God is with us. They told what had happened on the road. Now he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Friends, these are exciting times around here. A lot's happening in our community. And you're invited to come walk with us. You're invited to walk with us. Together, we'll see where it leads. But we need everyone to walk because we learn from each other. And suddenly we realize the one with whom we're walking. Thanks be to God. Amen.